We've been spending the month focusing on the light, as we talked about. And we are celebrating the fact that Christ has come to this earth. And the Bible tells us that Christ has come as a light into the darkened world. And we all know that we need a light in our life. I mean, we need something to show us the way. We need something to bring us hope. We need something that will show us where we've gone wrong and show us where we've gone right. Give us direction and allow us to see in darkened times. And Jesus has come to give us all that. He comes to bring hope, He comes to bring victory, and He comes to show us the way. Now, we've been spending a lot talking about what Jesus has come to do for us. So today, we're going to start talking about a lot of you and what God expects from you. You see, today is going to be all about you. Now, a lot of you are sighing a sign of relief because for the last 4 years, I've been telling you it's not about you. And now you get to think, well, today it is about me. Well, it is. We're going to talk about you and what God wants to do in you and through you and why He's created you and what He's purposed you for. But let me jump into a story that's going to illustrate this for us. It was back in July 4th, and my family was camping at Mohican State Park. Who's been to Mohican State Park before? Man, is that a beautiful area or what? It's like one of those places you just don't want to leave from. And it's just an amazing time we had. It was cold and rainy, but we still had a blast. And we were there for the 4th of July, and so we had the sparklers going. That's about the most gunpowder you're allowed legally in the state of Ohio come 4th of July fireworks time. So we got our sparklers out, and we're going to do some dangerous things with them because they're sparklers, you know. And so I had a whole handful of them, and of course the kids were all gathered around the campsite, and so I get the lighter out, and I light the first one. And I think it was the first time Elizabeth seen one, or it's been a while. And so Isabel and Elizabeth were kind of freaked out a little bit by it, but then they were mesmerized by it after they realized that I wasn't going to burn myself up or burn the campsite down or anything like that. And they started getting really excited about it. And so I handed that sparkler to one of the kids, and I lit another one. And I handed it to the kids, and then I started, you know, you can put them together and kind of light each other's sparklers. And so they grabbed a hold of those sparklers, and man, they were, you know, because when you get a sparkler in your hand, what do you do with it? You just stand there and stare at it? No, you run with it, right? You run with it, and then you move it around and you twirl it around. I mean, even the 37, 67, 6 years old, we all grab those sparklers, we all move around because we want to see the light and the trail that it leaves in the darkness. I mean, just mesmerized by this. And it was just this really cool moment where not only did they enjoy it when Dad was lighting the sparkler, but they enjoyed it even more because what? They got their own sparkler. Dad passed the light to them. Now, sisters and brothers, that's really what Christmas is about. If you boil Christmas down to one thing, it would be about passing the light of life that Christ has brought to us and to this earth, sharing the joy and blessings that His love brings us as we're reminded to share it with others. This is why we walk around with Merry Christmas on our lips everywhere we go, to steal a line from Scrooge, right? If I could boil anybody in his own pudding because he walks around with Merry Christmas on his lips, isn't that kind of the line? But this is why we walk around with Merry Christmas on our lips. I mean, we say Merry Christmas to the mailman. We say Merry Christmas at Walmart. Complete strangers. What do? We wish them a Merry Christmas. And why are we doing that? Well, because we want to pass on the light. We're passing on saying, hey, listen, I'm not just asking you to have a great day. I'm just saying, listen, I'm hoping that your life will be blessed. I hope that you'll find joy this season. I hope that God will shine on you. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas. When we say that, we're giving a lot to people when we say Merry Christmas. We're passing the light. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to share the light that He's given us. Now, some of you are going to be coming to the Christmas Eve services at 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 11 o'clock. Some of you are going to be at all of them. Some of you will be at one of them. Some of you are going to go to another church, and they're going to have a candlelight service there. I want to encourage all of you to be in church on Christmas Eve somewhere. I don't care if it's here. If you're traveling and going to see family, go to church out there. And you're going to go and have a Christmas Eve candlelight experience where the pastor, and if you're going to be here, it's going to be me, I'm going to lean over because that white candle is going to be lit on Christmas Day. Isn't that cool? I love when that white candle gets lit because then we know it's Christmas, right? And so you lean over, and that's called the Christ candle. There's one candle in the middle, and it's white to signify one God who is a pure God. I'll lean over, and I'll light my candle, and then I'll come over here, and then there'll be two ushers standing here, and I'll light their candles, and what do? They start making their way up the rows, and what do? They light Joey's candle, and then they'll come back here and light candles, and they'll come over here and light Chris's candle, and they'll light candles all the way down the row, and then what do you guys do? The light kind of spreads, and all of a sudden, in a matter of minutes, the whole place is lit up. And if the church isn't on fire and everybody's candle's lit, it's a good night, all right? But why do we do that? Here's the thing. Everybody receives, and everybody passes the light. Think about that for a second. Think about the act of what we do. Even the pastor receives the light from Christ and passes the light on to somebody else, and then so forth. Now, those of you on the end of the row, you're out of luck, but you understand the metaphor works, all right? You receive the light from somebody, and you pass it along. So you receive the light so you can do what? Give it away to somebody else. And that's exactly what Christ came to do through you. Now, what would it be like if I lit just a sparkler for me and didn't bother to give it to any of my kids, and they just stood there and watched as Dad enjoyed his sparkler? Now, first of all, I'll tell you this. My marriage would be immediately challenged at that moment. And my kids wouldn't think very much of me, and nobody in this room would think very much of me. We'd probably think I'm a pretty lousy dad, and I would be. Why? Because it's not appropriate for Dad not to share his light with his kids when it comes to sparklers, all right? Now, what if I woke up every morning and stood in front of the mirror and said, Merry Christmas? Oh, you look good. Merry Christmas to you. I wish you a Merry Christmas today. And then I walked out into the world, and I didn't utter Merry Christmas to anybody else. Would that be ridiculous? That'd be just silly. And what would it look like? Now, bear with me here. If we were in a Christmas Eve candlelight service, and it came to you having your candle lit, and you refused to lean over and light the person next to you, I think that actually would be kind of funny. I'd like to see that actually happen and see. I mean, it might be like a brawl breaking out right there in the pew. You won't give me the light, give me the candle. What's going on? If it was Gary in there, he'd have something to say about it, I bet. But what would that look like? Nobody would do. Have you ever been to a Christmas Eve candlelight service where the person next to you hasn't passed the flame? By your silence, I'm saying you've been to some pretty good churches. Well, good. Good. You would never do that. You would think that to be foolish for somebody not to do that. And that's what God says to us. We've been given the light so that we can pass it on to other people. In the Bible, God says this. God plans to use you to pass the light to others. Not only so you can see, but so others can see. Here's what he says in Matthew. And this is Jesus' words. And it's talking about you. Remember, it's about you today. You are the light of the world. Whoa. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. Okay, Jesus. He says about you, you are the light of the world, you're a city on a hill, it can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men and women that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, we all hopefully know the Christ's claim that when he came to earth, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Before that, he also said what? I am the light of the world. Christ said that he was the light of the world. Now, when he says that he's the light of the world, here's what that means. He says, I come to bring hope into darkness. I come to bring direction in the darkness. I come to bring the light of life in darkened times. I come to bring sight in the darkened and uncertain future. I am the light of the world. And here's what Jesus says. He says, you are that same light. Isn't that amazing? Christ's description of you is the same one that he uses to describe himself. Whoa. Let that sink in for a second. Jesus is accusing you of being able to do the very same things that he was doing while he was here on earth. Isn't that amazing? He says, I'm the light of the world, and oh, by the way, you are the light of the world. He says, I want your light to shine so that I can shine through you so that you can be a light in this dark world. Now, he doesn't want you covering it up underneath a bushel or underneath a bowl. He doesn't want you being ashamed of it. He doesn't want you holding it back. He gives us that warning in this scripture. He doesn't want you keeping the light to yourself. He wants you to shine. Why does he want you to shine? So that God can be glorified. He says it right here in Scripture. So that God can be glorified. This is not about self-promotion. This is about shining for God. This is about shining for God. You see, usually what we do as humans is we put God underneath the bowl and we prop ourselves up on a hill. Right? And we say, hey, look at me. I'm important. Focus on me. Give me attention. And we wind up living these kind of like self-absorbed lives. But you see, Jesus calls us to do and to be the opposite. Because when we walk in the light, he changes us. He changes our attitude, our life, how others see us, how we see others, and how we see ourselves. And it's just really easy. And it's a struggle in humanity to keep the focus off ourselves and to let God shine through us and let us be a light. It was Thursday night, and I was at the Old Fort basketball game. And man, JV took care of business. Sorry, Bethsville. I know a lot of you are from Bethsville. I'm an old Ford fan, sorry. But they took care of business at the JV game, and then it came to the varsity game, and the varsity was up the whole game. And it came down to the end in the wire, and we were up by 2 points, and they tipped in a bucket. And I think there was 3 seconds left on the clock, and we called timeout. We almost messed that up, too. We called timeout, and it was a tie game, 3 seconds on the clock. And we inbound the ball, and this guy grabs a hold of this ball and dribbles down the court and pulls up a fadeaway jump shot and sinks the basket. Now, that was exciting, and that was a really cool thing. I mean, I was jumping up and down. It was awesome. But you want to know why I was even more excited? It was because of the guy who took the shot. It was Roman. Roman over there took that shot and sunk it. And you want to know why I was so excited? Because here's a guy who realizes that life isn't about him. Here's a guy who lives for the glory of God and knows that God has gifted him in a special way. And he's not here to prop himself up in front of a bunch of people. He gives the glory to God. And that is a gift, sisters and brothers, when we realize that what we've been given is to be used to shine. Not just to shine for ourselves, but to shine for God. Isn't that cool? I mean, isn't that exciting? Hey, by the way, way to go, man. That was awesome. I'm just excited for the game. That was cool. Congratulations. Good stuff. But it's cool when you see somebody live not for themselves, but they live for what God has given them and gifted them to do. That's exactly what God calls you to do. That's why we're here. That's why we come to church. We come to church here every Sunday to get filled up with the light of Christ so we can go out and shine for the world. And I don't know about you, but after about 6 days, my light gets a little bit dim. Okay? And I need to come back up and get charged up and plug back in and get relit and get ready to go for God all over again and to go back out in the world and to see what God can do in me and through me. How about you? I mean, isn't that why we're here? For God to light us up and for us to go out and light other people up. And when we do that, we realize that you can't keep it hidden. You can't keep it hidden. It is impossible to keep the light to yourself. It just is. It's impossible to keep the light to yourself because when Christ fills you, when He shines in your heart, you can't keep that stuff down. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, as Christ is in the light, okay? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Isn't that cool? If we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, if we shift our motivations to the motivations of Christ, if we follow Him, if we walk with Him, if we walk in His footsteps, here's what happens. Here's the immediate response of that. The immediate response of that is what? We have fellowship with one another. You see, when Jesus turns our light on in our hearts, the automatic and immediate and natural response is to connect with other people. There's just this fellowship that happens. There's this connection that goes on. Why? Because when we walk in the light of Christ, we realize that as individuals, we are covered in the blood of Jesus, that we are set free from sin and death, that we've been given a Savior for this world, that He has lit up our entire life and our entire world. He's brought hope and joy and love to us. How could we not want to share that with everybody else? How could we not want to tell everybody in the whole world? I mean, that is good news. How could we not immediately want to receive the light with other people and share the light with others? I mean, that light just pours out of us. I mean, Browns fans, you saw what happened when you guys finally beat Pittsburgh after about 5 or 6 years. I mean, you're talking about it to everybody. Listen, Jesus' birth is a little bit more important than a victory in the NFL. Just a little bit, all right? But if we can go share that with all of our friends and get excited about that, how much more do we want to pass on the light of Christ in our lives? Austin was receiving the Arrow of Light Award at the beginning of the month at a PAC meeting. An Arrow of Light Award is a pretty big deal. A lot of you have been in scouting, have kids in scouting. The Arrow of Light is the highest award that a Cub Scout can achieve, a Cub Scout or Weebelo. And it also signifies that you're moving on from Weebelos into Boy Scouts now. And so this was such a huge event in Austin's life that we sent Austin by himself to the ceremony and Aaron and I stayed home with the family. No. Of course we wouldn't. Again, you would think I would be a lousy dad, and you would be right, okay? I mean, of course I'm going to do the best thing I can, and that is to get there for him, to be there with him. And everybody's family showed up, not just for Austin, but for all the other guys there. They had moms there, they had dads there, and some kids they had both parents there. They had siblings were there, and Aaron spent like 3 days baking a cake and homemade frosting and the whole deal. I mean, it was really good, too, by the way. My wife makes a mean cake. Thank you, Lord. It was good. It was good. And we did all this. Why? Because my son was receiving the light, the Arrow of Light. Why? Because nobody wants to receive the light alone. It just doesn't seem right. It wouldn't be right. We want to celebrate that. We want to experience the light together. And that's the same way with God. God doesn't want us to receive the light alone. He wants us to do it together. And in 1 Peter, the Bible says, but you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Isn't that cool? What does it say here? It says that we are to share the light together because of who God is. It says here we share the light together because of who we now are today versus who we were yesterday when we once walked in the darkness and now walk in the light. We are here for a reason and a purpose because of what God's done for us. And because of that, we walk together and we share together and we give the light away. I love it in 1 Peter. It doesn't talk about you as an individual. It doesn't talk about the first person here. It talks about a group of people. It's not singular, it's plural. It says you are a group of people, you're a nation of people, you're a priesthood of people, and you're praising God together because He's giving you the gift of light. Let me ask you about the Christmas story in the Bible. All right? Who showed up at the manger that night? Was there anybody that showed up at the manger scene that night where Jesus was by themselves? Think about this for a second. Anybody? No? Not even the animals were there by themselves. There were animals, not an animal. All right? There was a wise man? No, there are wise men. Three of them, right? Were there a shepherd or were there shepherds? There were multiple shepherds. In other words, everybody, did Mary come by herself? No, she had Joseph. Did Joseph come by himself? No, he had Mary. Every single person that showed up to experience the light of Christ that night, guess what? Came with somebody else. They celebrated the light together. They discovered the light together. And they worshiped the light of Christ together. I want you to hear the encounter from the shepherds. This is after the angels came to the shepherds and let them know about the news. And it says here, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. In other words, the shepherds had such an encounter with the light together that it changed them. As a matter of fact, they had such an incredible encounter with Christ, the baby, the Christ child, that they went home, turned on their television, and locked themselves in the house for the next 3 weeks and talked to nobody. No. They didn't put a bowl over it. They didn't hold the sparkler to themselves. They didn't keep Merry Christmas to themselves. They didn't keep the candle lit to themselves. They went out and they spread God's word. And they didn't have to be fancy about it. They just told people what they saw. They celebrated and glorified God. That was the result of encountering Christ together. And it changed them together for the rest of their lives. We are to share the light together. And when they did that, they came out singing praises and glorifying and honoring God's name. And so we've got to realize one thing. If the light doesn't move you, if the light doesn't move me to pass it on, then we've got to check our motives. We've got to check our hearts. We've got to see what's going on down here and lay our hearts out honestly before God. Because we've got to answer this question. If we're not going to be the light, we've got to say, hey, then what am I after in life? If I'm not going to be who God set... Now listen, this is not what the pastor told you you're supposed to be. This isn't a suggestion from some self-help book. This is the Word of God. And Jesus says to you, you are the light. Now go be the light. If we choose to live a lifestyle other than that, then we've got to ask ourselves, then what am I after in life? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, wait till the Lord comes. Oh, you wait. That's what he's saying. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's and women's hearts. What he's saying here is we've got to check our hearts underneath the light of God's standards, not on our own, because if we check the light, our lives and our hearts underneath our own standards, then we're going to think we're just fine because I can justify anything that's going on in my life, and I know you can too. I've been there. And when we look with just our own eyes, what we see is we see that, hey, I'm generally a good person. I haven't hurt anybody. I just kind of keep to myself. I'm kind of a quiet person. I have my own picture of life, and that's just who I am. Baloney. Jesus says you're the light of the world. Jesus wants you to go out and shine. And so what we need to do is interrogate our hearts underneath the light of God's Word so that we can see ourselves for who we really are. We need to be shown through Christ and through His light who we really are. We need to see the self-preservation that lives in our hearts. We need to see the personal comfort that we desire. We need to see that we're led by self-fulfillment and a self-centeredness and let God in and repair that and help us move on so we can be who He's created us to be. Here's what David says in Psalm. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. In Matthew writes, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, what they're basically saying is it's all about our eyes. It starts with our eyes. And what God wants us to do is for us to be in His Word and from His Word to shed light on our life so He can open our eyes beyond what we want to see and for us to be able to see what we need to see and what we should see about who we are and what's going on in our life so that God can do a new work there. You see, if we're left to our own eyes, our own self-evaluation, we're going to constantly move ourselves to the place where we see ourselves better than we really are. And when we do that, we basically remain in the dark and we remain foolish about really where our life is headed. And nobody wants to be a fool. We want to be illuminated. We want God to expose us to who we really are, so that we can grow and work beyond those moments and get better in God and to live out His purposes. You see, in the light, everything gets exposed. And when we get exposed, we can actually ask Jesus to change us right where we need to be changed because now we know we need to be changed there and He can change our motives to be His motives. That's what we've got to do. if we're going to walk in God's footsteps, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to, listen, Jesus says He's the light. He says you're the light. If we're going to match up somewhere, we've got to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. You've got to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, which simply is this. We got to find out what motivates Jesus. We got to figure out what makes Jesus tick, and then we got to do everything that's the same. We got to follow His motivations. We got to make sure that what makes Him tick makes us tick without getting ticked off. Okay? All right? And we got to follow Christ in what He's calling us to do. And we just simply do what He's been doing. So what is Jesus' motivation? He tells us in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Number one, He reinforces us, reinforces to us what? That He is who He says He is. He is the light of the world. Secondly, what does He say? He tells us His purpose. He tells us His reason for coming to the earth. He comes to the earth so that what? Nobody may remain in darkness. That's God's sole purpose, is to rescue you from sin and death, to bring you out of the darkness and into the light. And His purpose is to make sure that everybody in the entire world, all of His creation, has a chance to do that. And this is God's entire motivation. It drives everything that He does, so much so that He sacrificed His only Son to get His purposes done. What drives you? What drives me? What drives Old Fort Church? I can tell you what drives Old Fort Church. Our mission statement says to bring people to Jesus Christ. How about that? So if we do something that doesn't bring people to Jesus Christ, then we got to put it under the light of Christ and say, why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? Because we're all about doing what Jesus was all about doing. And that's our life mission. How about you? What drives you? Do we tend to lean towards letting pleasure and comfort and personal power drive us? Or are we more like the shepherds, where our heart is driven to sing to the glory and praises of our Lord Jesus in front of anybody that we come in contact with? Listen, it is our attitude and motivation of heart that determines how much of Christ's light is going to shine through us. If you think about it, our attitude and our heart is kind of like a dimmer switch. I love dimmer switches. I love to just, you know, play with those things all day long. You just go, light, dark, light. Listen, I'm entertained in simple ways. Simple things, people. Simple things, people, right? Okay? And if you have kids, you know, you've had to say to them before, leave the dimmer switch alone. Stop playing with that thing. All right? Because the cool part about it is it doesn't go right from being dark to right from being light, right from being light to right from being dark. There's like varying degrees of it. Okay? Now, the power source doesn't change. You're not affecting the electric company and how much voltage they're sending through the line. No, you're just taking whatever wattage or voltage or electricity that's coming through the line and you're cutting it off a little bit right there at the dimmer, okay? And what you do there at the dimmer switch determines how much light that light bulb gets to light up the room for everybody else, okay? Now picture this. God is the power company, you're the dimmer switch, and the people you need to reach are the light bulb. What you decide to do in your own heart and your attitude is going to determine how much light not only comes into your life, but how much you're going to be able to shine for other people. Because when you turn a light down for yourself in a room, everybody else in the room experiences it too. And so when we live with a lousy attitude, or when we live with broken hearts, where we're inward focused on who we are, and we can't let God break our hearts and live outwardly for who Jesus is and what He does in our hearts, not only do we do ourselves a disservice, but the light dims in other people's lives as well. The light dims in other people's lives as well. And what happens is, people miss out on a life with Christ because of us. Because of us. You see, Jesus says to us that we may be the only Jesus that people experience. We may be the only Christ that people encounter, and we've got to be His hands and feet. Because if we're not, someday we're going to stand in heaven before God and answer to why we didn't live to be the light that God called us to live. There are people in this world who need hope. There are people in this world who need real love. There are people in this world who need a Savior, and they need your light. Not just your personal light, but they need the light of Christ that's shining through you now. And you simply say, I'm not that powerful. I'm just one person. I mean, I can't do this. I mean, I'm a quiet person. I kind of just keep to myself. Okay? Well, all right, I got another biblical term for you. It's baloney. It's baloney, all right? Light doesn't lose strength when it's passed. Think about this for a second. Light doesn't lose strength when it's passed. You've been to a Christmas Eve candlelight service. We've talked about this, all right? When you pass the light and all 300 candles out here are lit and that one lit up there, is the flame any stronger in that candle than it is out there? Isn't this amazing? No. 300 candles. And that light's been passed 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times. It never loses its power when it's passed. As a matter of fact, I've seen light gain strength when it's passed. You ever light your fire at the house? You don't start with a blaze. What do you start with? You start with a little spark, a match. And what happens? The ember catches, and one log catches on fire, and then the other one, and all of a sudden the light and the fire is spread, and that thing is set ablaze. And how did it get started? From one little match. Sisters and brothers, your life is that little match, and you can set ablaze a fire in your community, on your team, in your classroom, at your workplace, wherever you are, because that is God, and that is what He says about you, that you guys are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. One closing thought here. In John, well, before we get to a video clip, cannot have a sermon without a video clip. We've got to get to that, right? John 1, 6 through 9. This is the story of John the Baptist. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe, and women might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man and woman was coming into the world. Here's John the Baptist. He knew some things. John knew, first of all, that Jesus was the light. John also knew, secondly, that he himself, John the Baptist, wasn't the source of the light, but that Jesus was. Thirdly, he knew that his life existed for Jesus to shine through him. And he also realized that he was just as powerful as what Christ was coming to do here on this earth. He knew that he could change lives. He knew that he could lead people to Jesus. So guess what he did? He did just that. John chose to let God use him as a beacon of hope, a lighthouse of love. John the Baptist positioned himself on a hill, not for his own magnification and glorification, but so that he could let his light shine for the glory of Jesus Christ, so that people could walk out of the darkness into the light. Isn't that cool? I mean, that is what John the Baptist lived to do. And he believed that God wanted to use him. And it's a simple belief on our part. We just got to believe that God wants to use us right where we are, that we can change lives, and that he can do that through us. One of my favorite stories come Christmas time is Charles Dickens, A Christmas, I almost said A Christmas Story, A Christmas Tale. That's a good movie too. But what did I say, Christmas Carol? Yeah, Christmas Carol. I got that wrong again. The Christmas Carol. Thank you, Mike. The Christmas Carol. And that's been told and retold. There's just 100 different movies out there about it. There's musicals. Been on Broadway, probably. And I just love it because, guess what? It's a story of what? A guy moving from the darkness into the light. And guess what happens to Scrooge? Not only does the light transform his own life, but when his life is transformed by the light, what does he do for everybody else around him? The light shines through him and changes their life too. Let's watch this. This is the George C. Scott version. Let that be said of us too. Let it be said of us that we know how to keep Christmas and give it away as well. Listen, if Scrooge can be changed and transformed by the light of three spirits and not only have his insides changed but be living on the outside and change other people, then don't you know there's not a person in this room that can't do the same? We can be the light of Christ because we are called to be the light of Jesus. You see, Christ's light comes into us, changes us, transforms us, and we wind up shining to everybody else. I want to invite the worship team to come up for the final song, and I want to run through a couple of things for you here. Here are about a few ways that we can be a light to others this holiday season. We got one more week of this Christmas deal, and then we got a week of New Year's, and we can get this right, okay? First of all, don't let the holidays be about you. And how this translates, at least in my household, is that we got to let go of everything if everything doesn't work out as planned. You know, we got family coming in, we got decorations, we got dinner, we got presents, and it's supposed to be a joyous occasion. And I know how it is in your house because I know how it is in my house, that when you got quirky relationships and you got relatives coming over and you got to get the food on the dinner table on time and you got to go to 10 different people's houses, that there are expectations on your part and your parents' part and everybody else. And if we in those situations would just let the grace of God flow and not worry about it and let go of it. Because I find myself all the time saying, well, that's not the way I picture my Christmas. Whoa, my Christmas? Am I the only one? Is it my birthday? No, it's about Jesus. So let's let go this Christmas and let God do what he wants to do. Number two, do something for someone in need. Did Bob Cratchit and his family have a need? Did Ebenezer Scrooge realize that need and do something about it? Absolutely. Maybe for you that means cooking a meal for somebody or going Christmas caroling for somebody or helping them with Christmas because their kids may not have a Christmas if you don't step up and help them or taking a food basket to them or babysitting for their kids so that they can go out Christmas shopping or get out of the house or run to the grocery store and help those people that may need help with their groceries and help them cook a meal. Thirdly, give people your smile and joy. That's one thing I love about Scrooge's character because he went out into the town, he started smiling and wishing Merry Christmas to people, and they were floored. I mean, are you kidding me? I know who you were yesterday, and you're smiling to me today. Do you know what a smile does for people? A smile changes people. I mean, a smile is a beautiful thing. You give people a smile and you say Merry Christmas to them, I've seen people change right before my eyes, a cashier at a Walmart or whether at the bank teller over at the bank. I mean, it just changes when you give people a smile. And that's what God wants us to do. Listen, if someone says Happy Holidays to you this Christmas season, guess what you respond? Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! 2,000 years later, Jesus' name is still offensive to some people. I don't know. But it is Christmas, and that's the reason for the holidays. So I walk around and I say Merry Christmas to everybody, and I don't worry about what religion they are or what their background is or their belief. I'm not worried about offending somebody. I'd be offended if somebody didn't wish me well. How about you? How about you? So we're going to walk around and we're going to give people smiles and we're going to give people a Merry Christmas. And then number four, we're going to brighten someone's day. When Scrooge threw that sack of gold at Bob Cratchit and said, I'm about to double your salary, do you think he brightened his day? Because first of all, Bob Cratchit thought it might be a hand grenade that was being thrown at him. And it turned out to be a stack of coins, all right? So for you, maybe you write a card, you make a visit, you make a phone call, you give somebody some kind of positive encouragement this week, and for those that need to hear it, and everybody needs to hear it. Number five, you get in a group, and you share the light that God's given you with other people, and their light shared with you that God's given them, and you share your knowledge and your love with each other, and so you get in a small group or a Bible study, or you come out on Wednesday nights come January, because we've got this whole new kicking thing happening on Wednesday nights in January. We got new things with the kids and with the teens and with the adults. We have three classes for the adults. Like Gary's going to be teaching something on prayer, and we got Mark Risen's going to be doing something on a book of the Bible. And who else do we have teaching? Jeannie's going to be teaching something and on transformation. And so adults, we got three choices for you. Teens, we got something going on with this movie called To Save a Life that's coming out, and this movie's going to change lives. And then number three, for the kids, we've got a father-son and a mother-daughter class on purity that Aaron's going to be leading and Rich Randolph's going to be working on. Listen, there are no excuses. We got something really cool happening for everybody in this church, and we want you to be a part of it. Number six, sponsor a teen. I mentioned the whole To Save a Life thing. This is going to be an outreach to the high school and to the junior high, and it's going to be far beyond the teens that we already have here. And they're leveraging their relationships to invite their friends to this movie and to the seven-week study we're going to be doing together. And we're going to need you to possibly sponsor some teens that don't have parents that go to this church that want to come and participate, maybe to the tune of $20 to $40 a kid, a teen. And I'm praying that you'll step up. And we'll give you some more information on that in early January when we start revving that thing up. But it's going to be awesome. Pray about it. You've seen the movie posters around here. It's called To Save a Life. You can check it on the internet. It's a great thing for families. It's a great thing for teens. It's a great thing for anybody. And then finally, number seven, invite people to our Christmas Eve services and to the dinner. 4 o'clock service, 5 o'clock dinner, 6 o'clock service, 11 o'clock service. Listen, bring your family, bring your friends, invite your coworkers. We have cards that you can take with you that you can hand out, and I want to make sure that we give all those away because it doesn't make sense to have any of those invites sitting here come Christmas Eve. Bring somebody with you. It's the simplest way in the whole world you can be the light to somebody. Invite them with you. 99% of the population is thinking about going to church on Christmas Eve anyways, no matter what they believe or how often they've been to church. Why? It's just what people do at Christmas time and Easter, whether they want to or not. Okay? Sometimes they let their spouses leverage them or a friend. And if you say, hey, are you going anywhere for Christmas? And they say, well, no, I hadn't really thought about it. Why don't you come with us? Do you think they're going to be offended by that? Absolutely not. Invite them to come with you. Because you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And you've been called to do the same things that He's done. Let's sing together. Jesus came to this earth and He said, I am the light of the world. And He came to say the very same thing about you, that you are the light of the world. That in and of itself is the most awesome thing that we could ever hear. So let's leave it at that. Go this week and be who Christ calls you to be. We'd love to see you tonight at 6 o'clock for prayer. Don't forget to get your pictures taken downstairs after service. And love to see you on Christmas. If we don't, have a Merry Christmas. Amen.